What's up, everybody? Welcome to Overlap Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Mattson, and once again, I'm joined by Brian Greedo. How you doing?
Pretty well, man. Just getting down to the home stretch of the semester here.
Yeah, we're getting into it. Midterms, you know, were just last week, pretty much. So, definitely dealing with it right now.
For sure.
But anyways, the big news of this week was the report dropped by Grant Wall about an interview he had with, or an interview that was done by Sepp Blatter in Russia. And the main quote that came out with this, it's a long one, so I'm going to read it all out. But so it was in 2010, we had a discussion of the World Cup, and then we went to a double decision. For the World Cups, it was agreed that we would go to Russia, because it had never been in Russia or Eastern Europe. And for 2022, we'd go back to America. And so we will have the World Cups in the two biggest political powers. And everything was good until the moment then French President Nicolas Sarkozy came into the meeting with Crown Prince of Qatar, who is now the ruler of Qatar. At a lunch afterwards, Mr. Platini, he said it would be good to go to Qatar, and that this changed all the pattern. There was an election by a secret ballot. Four voters from Europe went away from the USA, so the result was 14-8 for Qatar. If you put the four votes, it would have been 12-10 for the USA, and it would have been given the World Cup. We would only speak about the wonderful World Cup in 2018 in Russia, and we would not speak about any of the problems at FIFA if we had given it to the United States. So basically he's saying there was a lot of backhand deals, so on, going on, and especially Qatar wasn't supposed to be in this meeting at all, and then maybe they bought some votes, maybe four votes.
I mean, it's just all shady. You know, obviously, like, this has been kind of in the offing for a long, long time now. But it's shocking to me that he's so kind of brazen about it now. And I feel like on some level, he's trying to frame, you know, Platini and trying to kind of save his own skin in a sense. Because the way he's framing it is that, like, look, there was a gentleman's agreement in place and I'm no longer responsible for, you know, that deal falling through because, you know, my partner basically, like, reneged on his end of the deal. And that's kind of how it reads to me, that quote. And so what the ramifications are, I don't know. But FIFA has, you know, been adamant about not changing the venue for the next World Cup in 2018 in Russia. So going to be very interesting over the next few months how this develops.
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't think they could ever move the World Cups just because all the money that would be in place already, building the stadiums, infrastructure, and so on. But yeah, right. He has basically come out and said that votes were bought.
You know, yeah. The process was not above board.
Like him saying, like, four votes were changed from USA to Qatar. That's not, oh, they wined and dined him. No, that's, they bought him. Because you don't change an agreement like that. You don't go against, according to Sepp Blatter, you don't go against him. So, I don't know how those votes change unless there's money changing hands. So,
there's definitely.
Yeah, so definitely it's showing there's some fishiness going on out there.
Oh, yeah. Very, very shady indeed.
All right, so let's move on to the Premier League news. So let's get away from the dire of FIFA. That's horrible every week. I mean, I think this is like the fifth week in a row we've talked about FIFA and something going on. So let's jump to something a little bit better. Premier League games. Your boys, Liverpool, beat Chelsea 3-1 in the biggest game of the weekend, I guess.
It was glorious. Glorious on so many levels. Not just the fact that Klopp, you know, got his first win in the league, but the fact that it was Chelsea just made it that much sweeter. You know, speaking to the match, the first half, you know, Chelsea scored early. They scored in the 6th minute off a header from John Obi Mikel, who scored on great service from Cesar Azpilicueta on the left flank. But the match itself, Liverpool, I think the biggest thing that I noticed in the match was the pressing is more organized. It's more reminiscent of the kind of style that we had seen from Jurgen Klopp's side when he was at Borussia Dortmund. There were a lot of overloads when Chelsea, you know, had the ball on, you know, one of the painted lines, one of the sidelines on the pitch. Like, you saw a lot of aggression, lots of organized pressing with Liverpool sending 3-4 players to the ball every single time a Chelsea player touched it. And at the end of the half, you know, despite the fact that Liverpool had 67% of the possession, I believe, in the first half, we hadn't had a breakthrough, and Coutinho provided a moment of brilliance in injury time right before Mark Clattenburg blew the whistle for the half and bent it past Begovic with his weak foot, his left foot, and it was really, really great to see that. And going into the second half, Chelsea had to come out of their shell. They were more aggressive, but then Liverpool really bossed the match from then on out. You know, Benteke came in probably 65th minute, and he actually set up Coutinho's second goal before scoring a third one at the end of the match to seal the win for Liverpool. So great match. Obviously for me, as a Liverpool fan, the result was fantastic. But speaking of Chelsea, there were a lot of issues that we saw, you know, with this. You know, Eden Hazard, he actually played in number 10 role behind Diego Costa, and he didn't create any chances. He didn't have a shot. Diego Costa a shot. You see the lineup that Mourinho trotted out, and in front of the back four, he had John Obi Mikel and Willian. He dropped Nemanja Matic. Cesc Fabregas comes in late into the match. And so, in front of the back four, he had John Obi Mikel and Ramirez with Willian on the right flank. So it was a defensive lineup, and it really brings into question the tactics. You know, we saw Chelsea last year, the beginning of the year, play a very expansive attacking football, but now kind of mirroring the second half of last season, they're kind of being negative. They're trying to defend leads, and now the supporters, and obviously now Roman Abramovich and the results, and people are calling for his head. So it was a very, very layered game. I just spoke a lot, but it was a very, very layered game.
Oh yeah, and for Jose, he's in deep trouble, losing to Stoke in the midweek, drawing the week before, I believe, and then obviously losing to Liverpool. But for Liverpool, it's probably great because you see Coutinho finally score a first brace as a Liverpool player. You have, you know, getting revenge against Chelsea, the side that essentially ruined your title chance 3 years ago. You know, the Gerrard slip and everything in it. So it's really good to get that revenge back against them, I would assume.
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting things tactically in the match as well. Like, you know, the introduction of Benteke really altered the shape of the Liverpool team and the makeup and the way we played, because we had Firmino playing in a false nine role, and he was doing a good job holding up the play, but you could sense in the first half there was a lack of attacking, that cutting edge in the final third. We were passing the ball around a lot in Chelsea's final third, had a lot of possession, but we really couldn't find that breakthrough. And when, you know, Benteke comes in, you could just tell that everyone on the squad, everyone in the pitch for Liverpool, they perked up. You know, players were looking for him long, and that's actually how he got Coutinho's first goal. It was a long ball. It was Alberto Moreno. I can't remember who it was, but someone played him long, and he actually pinned it down for Coutinho. Cut inside, and then that set up Coutinho's shot, because he pulled away one of the defenders. And so he really, that sequence to me demonstrated what kind of edge he brings to this side. And we saw it against Southampton last week too. You know, he really basically created something out of nothing with James Milner playing across from, you know, 35, 40 yards away, and he just climbs the ladder and gets it. So it's really gratifying to have a player like that inside. When we really need a goal, he's someone who brings a lot of quality, not just physically in the air, but, you know, a lot of technical quality as well. Like, you see him get that fantastic overhead kick against Manchester United in that 3-1 loss earlier in the season. So I'm really happy with him. A lot of people thought we overpaid for him, and I thought I was one of those, you know, in that camp. But now he's really starting to show his quality to me, and I'm really excited to have him in the team.
Yeah, he's been good. Let's move on to another game. Leicester beating West Brom 3-2. Jamie Vardy scoring another brace. Man's on fire. Should probably be playing for the Euros pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely earned a place, or is in the process of earning a place for next summer's England squad.
Yeah, and it's a great story, too, you know, playing non-league football only, I think it was 4 years ago or 5 years ago. I think we looked it up. Yeah. And it was like at Fleetwood Town 3 years ago, and then it was like the biggest non-league signing in history for like $1.5 million to Leicester.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Very, very great story. Great story.
Other game, Manchester United drew with Crystal Palace. Manchester United probably should have lost the game. Palace was the much better side, just showing how poor United is and playing the very defensive, non-Fergie-esque style that Van Gaal has brought into United. Another game was Manchester City beat Norwich 2-1. I believe it was Sterling. I forgot who else scored for City, but you know, they won. Arsenal killed Swansea 3-0. They probably should be top of the table right now. They look a lot better than Man City. They're killing teams.
They're
Mesut Ozil is looking like the best player.
Football. They're playing brilliant football. You know, flowing, you know, attacking very much everything that Arsene Wenger wants in an Arsenal side.
Yeah, so it might be the year for Arsenal. You know, maybe the 11-year drought could finally be over.
I'm in that camp. I think they'll win the league.
Yeah, because I don't trust Man City. Chelsea's fallen off. Liverpool can't really mount a title challenge, I don't believe. United really can't do it either, so could be the year for Arsenal. Could also be the year for, you know, one of the smaller sides to sneak in fourth place somewhere. Obviously, yeah, I'm not going to name a team, but it could happen.
I think Liverpool's going to get that fourth spot. That's just not biased.
Yeah? You sure? Sounds a little biased. Another game, Watford beat West Ham 2-0, making Watford now have 16 points. West Ham finally losing on the road for once. They've been pretty poor at home, but they've been really good on the way for some reason. I don't understand why. But now they lost on the road too, so maybe West Ham's fallen down a little bit, falling back to where they probably should be, around 10th. And then the final game for Saturday was Newcastle versus Stoke, a 0-0 draw. Thank God for Butland keeping us alive. We really need him. Mitrovic hit one off the post and somehow didn't go in off Butland. But anyway, still good for Stoke getting a point on the road, but also good for Newcastle starting to accumulate points, start playing a lot better, especially at home, because their fans really deserve them to be better. The games for Sunday, we had Everton beat Sunderland 6-2 in what was the greatest scoring match of the week, with Runa Kone having a hat trick, Sunderland bringing it back to 2-2 from 2-0 down, Jermaine Defoe scoring what was a great goal, pretty much a solo effort for him, and then Stephen Fletcher. But you know, Kone, Lukaku, and Ross Barkley played out of their mind, and Delafeu scored a nice goal as well. So Everton back on the mark, getting back to where they should be in the title, or no, it's not title, top four, like at least space. The other game was Southampton beating Bournemouth 2-0. Southampton looked better in the first half. Bournemouth played a lot more expansive in the second half. However, Southampton ended up just holding on to the lead. And the final game was on Monday. It was Tottenham beating Aston Villa 3-1, with Aston Villa's new head coach sitting in the stands watching Villa play pretty poorly, especially Gabby Gabalnahor had an abysmal game. And
Did they end up hiring Remy Gard?
Yes, he was in the stands. They announced it morning of, I think.
Okay.
So that was our Premier League results. Other bits of news. We didn't mention about Eva Canero planning to sue Jose Mourinho.
That's also a news item.
Yeah, so news item here for Chelsea. Eva Canero is planning to sue Jose Mourinho over his actions that led to her being fired. If you remember, in the first game of the season, Eden Hazard went down with an apparent head injury, possible concussion, and Canero and the other Chelsea physio ran onto the pitch. It was then seen that Hazard just went down to stop play, and it meant that Hazard had to sit out for 5 minutes, and then they ended up drawing the game. I believe it was 1-1 or 0-0.
And then it was actually ended up 2-2.
Oh, 2-2. And then Mourinho...
It was a great
game.
That was a great game.
Yeah, and then Mourinho just decided to blame the entire loss on Ava, pretty much, that ended up leading her to getting fired 2 weeks after. So Jose Mourinho dealing with more issues at Chelsea.
When it rains, it
pours. Yeah, pretty much. Other bit of news, Aaron Johansson is he at Wolfsburg or Werder Bremen?
He's at Werder Bremen.
Okay, so Aaron Johansson of Werder Bremen will most likely not play for the rest of the calendar year of 2015 due to a nerve injury in his hip. He just had hip surgery. It also means he'll be missing all the United States men's national team World Cup qualifiers in the third round, the main game being Trinidad and Tobago. So we're dealing with some issues at striker. We have of course, Eddie Johnson retiring, Clint Dempsey in the playoffs right now, and Jose Altidore pinking off. So
for him to go down, especially at the moment with the national team.
Yeah, so we'll see if another strike will step up. Maybe Jordan Morris.
Clinton's been a fan of Morris, and I think he'll probably get the nod. But I've also been a fan of what I've seen from him. And admittedly, the limited amount of time I've seen him, you also have Bobby Wood as another guy that could step in there at the number nine role.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Bobby Wood. He seems more like a sub more than a guy you could start at the moment. He just doesn't really...
I'm definitely, if I had to pick between him and Morris, I'd rather play Morris. I think he shows a lot of quality. Obviously, he has a lot of pace, but a lot of positioning skill as well. And he actually got a good goal in his debut against Mexico. So positive start for him with the seniors.
Mm-hmm. And maybe see some Giassi Zardes out up top and bring in some new wingers, the Columbus kid or what's his name? Sebastian Legette at LA, maybe coming in, maybe splashing these little break though. He's been kind of off. Anyways, I mentioned Eddie Johnson announced his retirement. He had a heart condition that made it so that essentially he couldn't exercise anymore. So sad to see him go. He was drafted at 16 by FC Dallas, which was at the time Dallas Burn. Over the course of his career, he scored 78 goals in 281 games. He played in England, the United States, and Greece. He's had a pretty good career, even though he seemed to only score right in the contract here, but he still had a pretty good time. And he did score some national team goals. He had 19. I think he was top 10 on the list of strikers for United States national team. So sad to see him go only at 31, but still had a pretty good career for him.
And still decent. Yeah, still a good career.
Yeah. And last bit of news, the MLS playoff conference semifinals first leg. Say that five times in a row fast. New York beating DC United on the road, the only team to win on the road, takes the away goal going back to New York. New York really wants to win out so they can host MLS Cup and hopefully win their first MLS Cup. Montreal beat Columbus 2-1 in a little bit of controversy with a Columbus player taking out, I believe it was Patrice Bernier, with a hard tackle, probably should have been red. Ref obviously didn't want to give a red. And first leg, he only gave a yellow. And in the same game, Drogba, decided to hold on to a keeper's leg and try to stop him from getting to a ball and didn't even get a card for it. So we were seeing, issues with refs, and especially in the MLS, they're afraid to really give calls. But Montreal...
In playoff games.
Yeah, playoff games. They don't really want to do it. They don't want to ruin a game. They had it last year with LA and Seattle with Zach Scott. Should have gotten red.
I remember that. Yeah.
So, but anyways, Montreal takes a 2-1 lead going to Columbus. Columbus does have an away goal, so Columbus has a shot. If they win 1-0, then they can go through. Out of the Western Conference, Portland and Vancouver had a 0-0 draw. It was pretty boring. Maxi Rudy hit one off the post. Other than that, nothing really happened. And then Seattle and FC Dallas probably had the best game of the weekend, up and down for at least the first half. Seattle ultimately winning 2-1, and I don't know what was on the AstroTurf in Seattle, which is ugly pitch and kind of ruins the game. I really don't like watching Seattle games, but anyway, Seattle taking the 2-1 lead. Dallas got the one away goal, so if Dallas wins 1-0 again, they can go through. I think that's all we got. It's been
a light week.
Yeah. So again, you can follow us on Twitter at @TheOverlap1. Oh, I think we're doing some stuff on it, right?
Yeah, we are. We have been. I've been posting the links to the podcast on it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I haven't checked in a while. And again, we're on Podomatic. You can look up The Overlap Podcast, or I think it's my name as well. You can look up Jeffrey Madsen. You can go on iTunes and look up The Overlap Podcast as well if you're listening to us on Podomatic. We'd love to hear from you guys. You guys want to post something, anything you want to talk about. Maybe you can give us something more to talk about since it's been a pretty light week for us. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it. Definitely looking forward to taping the show next week, and we'll catch you guys later. Don't look back, we're here to stay. A life we knew would come one day. And this is it, the borderline, to where the future leaves us behind. We scream, no, this is not how it goes.
Thank you.